Welcome to another deep dive. We're going to be exploring the quirks of our own minds today.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah, you've been feeling that information overload lately, right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of got you thinking about how to really sharpen those critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
So we're going to help you sift through some fascinating research on irrational thinking,
Okay.
specifically excerpts from a Polish academic text on cognitive science. And we're going to try to extract the most valuable insights.
Sounds good.
And it turns out that even the smartest people fall prey to cognitive biases and irrational thinking. And to help us understand why, we have an expert on these mental pitfalls joining us today.
Absolutely, it's true. Those mental shortcuts and biases, they're way more common than you might think.
Yeah.
It's a bit humbling to realize that, even brilliant minds throughout history haven't been immune to this.
When you think about it, like Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all those big names, we kind of get that impression in history class.
Yeah, but it's more nuanced than that. While they valued reason, they also kind of hit a wall when their observations of the natural world, didn't match up with their logical deductions. They simply didn't have the tools of the scientific framework to make sense of everything back then.
So what happened? Did they just like throw logic out the window?
Not exactly. It was more like they leaned on faith and intuition to fill in the gaps
Yeah.
without, things like telescopes or microscopes.
Yeah.
They had to rely on the authority of established beliefs, even when those beliefs weren't supported by empirical evidence.
Interesting. So it was kind of like a, well, if I can't explain it, it must be the will of the gods situation.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that reliance on authority without solid proof led to some pretty inaccurate beliefs that persisted for centuries.
Wow.
A great example is Nicholas Copernicus,
Right.
even this brilliant astronomer who, proposed that the Earth revolves around the sun.
Yeah.
He struggled to break free from those, deeply ingrained assumptions.
Oh, wow.
He clung to the idea of perfectly circular planetary motion,
Really?
even when the data that he was collecting pointed toward elliptical orbits.
Wait, so even when faced with evidence to the contrary, he was like, no, it's got to be a perfect circle.
It really highlights how powerful our pre-existing beliefs can be. In Copernicus's time, circles were seen as this like perfect shape. They represented divine order in the universe.
Yeah, makes sense.
The idea of an imperfect vast universe
Right?
with the sun not at the center,
Right?
that was incredibly unsettling for people.
It would
It
be.
challenged everything they believed about their place in the cosmos.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to let go of ideas that give you that comfort and that sense of order, even when they're contradicted by evidence.
That's exactly right. And that brings us to a crucial point. We haven't fully escaped that tendency even today.
Oh.
In some ways, our modern comforts make it easier to hold on to irrational beliefs.
Interesting.
We're often shielded from the immediate consequences of those beliefs.
Right.
So we may not even realize the harm they can cause until it's too late.
Oh, that's a little unsettling. So you're saying we're more susceptible to irrational thinking now than we were in the past?
Not necessarily more susceptible, but the stakes are definitely higher.
Yeah.
The consequences of clinging to unfounded beliefs can be far-reaching, especially when those beliefs impact things like public health or, policy decisions.
That's true. So what's the solution? How do we become more rational in a world that often feels like it's designed to keep us in the dark?
That's where understanding cognitive biases comes in. You see, these are the mental shortcuts our brains take to simplify information processing, but they often lead to distorted thinking.
Okay.
But the good news is that once you're aware of these biases,
Yeah.
you can start to recognize them in yourself and in others.
Okay. I'm intrigued. So let's dive into some of these mental glitches. What are some of the most common ones that we should be on the lookout for?
One that I find particularly fascinating is the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Okay.
It's this strange phenomenon where people who are unskilled in a particular area, they tend to overestimate their competence.
Oh, I've definitely seen that in action. It's like those people who are always the loudest in the room, but they actually have no idea what they're talking about.
Exactly. And on the flip side, people who are highly competent often underestimate themselves.
Interesting.
They assume everyone else is just as knowledgeable as they are.
But why does that happen? Why would someone overestimate their abilities when they clearly lack the skills?
Part of it has to do with a lack of metacognition,
Okay.
which is the ability to reflect on your own thought processes. People with low competence in a certain area often lack the awareness to even recognize their own shortcomings. They
Wow.
literally don't have the knowledge to know what they don't know.
So it's like a double whammy. They're not good at something, and they don't even realize they're not good at it.
Precisely. And this can be particularly dangerous in professions where expertise is crucial, like medicine or law or even politics.
Yeah, if someone is making decisions that impact others, but they don't have the self-awareness to recognize their own limitations, the consequences could be huge.
Absolutely.
So are there any practical tips for combating this effect?
One key is to cultivate intellectual humility.
Okay.
Be willing to admit when you don't know something and be open to learning from others.
That's good advice.
Seek out feedback from people you trust and be willing to have your ideas challenged.
That's good advice for all of us, regardless of expertise.
Yeah.
So what other cognitive biases should we be on the lookout for?
Another one that's incredibly relevant to your experience with information overload is cognitive dissonance.
Okay.
This is the mental discomfort we feel when we hold two conflicting beliefs or values.
I think I've experienced that before. It's that feeling of unease when your actions don't align with your beliefs, right?
Yes, exactly. And to reduce that discomfort, we often try to rationalize our behavior, even if it means distorting reality or ignoring evidence.
So we're basically twisting the facts to fit our narrative, even when it's not the most logical or truthful approach.
Unfortunately, yes. And this can lead to all sorts of problematic outcomes from, making poor decisions to clinging to harmful beliefs.
Can you give me an example of how cognitive dissonance might play out in everyday life?
Sure, imagine you've always considered yourself a health-conscious person,
Okay.
but you find yourself constantly indulging in unhealthy snacks.
Oh, yeah.
To reconcile this conflict, you might start rationalizing your behavior by telling yourself, oh, it's just a small treat, or I'll work out extra hard tomorrow.
Oh, I've totally been there. It's like we try to convince ourselves that our actions aren't that bad, even when deep down we know we're not being true to our values.
That's cognitive dissonance in action, and it's a powerful force that can undermine our efforts to make rational decisions, especially when those decisions challenge our deeply held beliefs or identities.
This is starting to make me rethink a lot of my choices. So if we're susceptible to all these cognitive biases, how do we even begin to navigate this overwhelming amount of information we encounter every day?
That's a great question, and it leads us to another common bias, the availability heuristic.
Okay.
This one is all about how easily we can recall examples of something,
Yeah.
which then influences how likely we think it is to happen.
So if I'm constantly bombarded with, news stories about crime, I might start to believe that crime is more prevalent than it actually is, even if the statistics tell a different story.
Exactly. Our brains are wired to pay more attention to vivid or recent experiences.
Right.
And those experiences can really skew our perceptions of risk and probability. It's why people are often more afraid of flying than driving, even though statistically driving is far more dangerous.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it that way before. It's like our brains are playing tricks on us using these mental shortcuts that aren't always accurate.
That's right. And this is where media literacy becomes crucial. We need to be aware of how the information we consume, especially through news and social media, can shape our perceptions of the world.
Yeah.
It's about learning to question the narratives that we're presented with and seeking out diverse perspectives.
This is all starting to feel a bit overwhelming. Is there any hope for us to become more rational thinkers in this complex information landscape?
Absolutely. Recognizing these biases is the first step.
Okay, good.
Next, we need to understand how to counteract them.
Okay.
But let's save that discussion for part two of our deep dive.
Sounds like a plan. I'm already eager to learn more about how to break free from these mental traps. Listener, join us in part two, where we'll explore some practical strategies for becoming more discerning and critical thinkers.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were starting to unravel some of those tricky cognitive biases.
Yeah, those mental traps that can really lead us astray.
We left off talking about how those vivid or recent experiences can really warp our sense of what's actually likely.
Right, like being afraid of flying when driving is statistically more dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. It's a powerful illustration of the availability bias at work.
But, we're not simply victims of our brain's wiring, are we?
No,
Oh,
not at
darn.
all. There are ways to counter these biases,
Okay, good.
especially when it comes to navigating that information overload you've been feeling.
So give us some tools for our mental toolkit. How do we start becoming more discerning about all the information that's thrown at us?
One powerful strategy is to actively seek out diverse perspectives.
Okay.
It's easy to get caught in echo chambers, especially online. We're surrounded by people who share our views.
Right.
But if we want to make truly informed decisions, we need to expose ourselves to different viewpoints.
I agree with that, but with so much content out there, how do we even know where to start?
It's true. You can't fact check everything you encounter.
Right.
But you can start by being more critical of the sources you rely on.
Okay.
Instead of just passively absorbing information, ask yourself some questions.
Like what?
Well, like, who created this content?
Yeah.
What's their motivation? Are they presenting a balanced perspective, or are they pushing a particular agenda?
So it's about being more aware of the potential biases that might be shaping the information we're consuming.
Exactly. And it's not just about the source. It's also about the content itself.
Okay.
Does it rely on, you know, emotional appeals or anecdotal evidence, or does it present verifiable facts and logical reasoning?
You know, that reminds me of something we touched on earlier, the power of storytelling.
Right.
Even when we know statistics are more reliable, a really compelling anecdote can sway our opinions.
Absolutely. Our brains are hardwired to connect with those narratives.
Yeah.
Think about how often we hear that phrase. But I know someone who, as a justification for beliefs that might completely contradict scientific evidence.
Oh, yeah. I've totally caught myself doing that.
It's like those weight loss testimonials.
Yeah.
You see someone's dramatic before and after photos, and you're more likely to believe their story than a scientific study about the effectiveness of the diet.
That's a perfect example, and it highlights why critical thinking requires us to go beyond those gut reactions and emotional responses.
Yes, it's about being aware of how easily we can be swayed by a good story and learning to balance that with a more objective analysis of the facts.
So how do we do that? How do we train our brains to be less swayed by those compelling narratives, especially when they're tapping into, you know, our fears or desires?
One helpful technique is to play devil's advocate with yourself.
Okay.
When you encounter a piece of information, especially one that evokes a strong emotional response, take a step back and ask yourself, what are the counterarguments? What evidence might challenge this viewpoint?
That's a great tip. It forces you to consider alternative explanations instead of just accepting the first story you hear.
Exactly. And it can help you break free from confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias.
Which is our tendency to seek out information that confirms our existing beliefs while ignoring evidence that contradicts them.
Oh, that's a big one, especially in this age of personalized news feeds and echo chambers.
It is. Think about how social media algorithms work.
Right.
They're designed to keep you engaged by showing you content that aligns with your interests and past behavior.
Yeah.
This can create a feedback loop where you're constantly exposed to information that reinforces your existing views.
Right.
Even if those views are based on inaccurate or incomplete information.
It's like those algorithms are playing right into our cognitive biases.
They are, to a certain extent. That's why it's so important to be proactive about seeking out diverse perspectives.
Yeah.
Make an effort to follow people and organizations that challenge your worldview. Read news from sources that you might not typically agree with.
So it takes a conscious effort to break out of those echo chambers and expose ourselves to different ways of thinking.
It does, but it's essential if we want to become more well-rounded and informed individuals. And remember, critical thinking isn't just about evaluating information from external sources. It's also about examining our own internal biases and assumptions.
So it's about questioning our own thought processes, even our deeply held beliefs.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that we all have blind spots and being willing to challenge our own perceptions of the world.
This all ties back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, those deeply ingrained assumptions that even someone like Copernicus struggled to overcome.
Right.
It makes me wonder, if we're constantly bombarded with information, how do we even find the time and mental space to engage in this kind of deep critical thinking?
That's a great question, and it highlights one of the major challenges of our modern information landscape.
Mm.
You see, we're so accustomed to constant stimulation, to multitasking and skimming through headlines.
Right.
That it can be difficult to slow down and engage in that deep focused thinking.
It's like our brains are being rewired for distraction.
That's a good way to put it. And that's why it's so crucial to create boundaries around our technology use.
Okay.
We need to carve out time for reflection, for uninterrupted reading, for engaging in conversations that challenge our assumptions.
It's almost like we need to retrain our brains to think critically, to resist that urge to constantly consume and react.
Exactly. And it takes practice. Start by setting aside dedicated time each day for focused reading or reflection. Put away your phone, turn off notifications, and allow yourself to delve deeply into a topic without distractions.
That sounds like a great challenge for our listeners and for myself. What other practical strategies can we use to combat information overload and sharpen those critical thinking skills?
One that I find particularly helpful is to cultivate a healthy skepticism.
Mm.
Don't blindly accept everything you read or hear, especially online.
Right.
Approach information with a questioning mind and be willing to dig deeper to verify sources and to consider alternative explanations.
So it's not about being cynical or distrusting everything, but about approaching information with a healthy dose of curiosity and critical thinking.
Exactly. And remember, critical thinking is a skill that develops over time.
Uh-huh.
The more you practice it, the better you'll become at recognizing biases, evaluating information, and making sound judgments.
This has been incredibly insightful. I'm already feeling more empowered to navigate, you know, the complexities of the information age. But before we wrap up part two, I'm curious, are there any specific red flags that we should be on the lookout for? What are some signs that a piece of information might be unreliable or misleading?
That's a great question, and one that deserves its own deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break here and explore those red flags in more detail when we return for the final part of this episode.
Sounds good to me, listener. Join us for part three as we delve even deeper into the art of critical thinking in the digital age. Okay, so we're back and ready to, you know, really arm ourselves with the tools to navigate this crazy world of information.
That's right. It's all about being prepared.
Before the break, we were talking about, you know, really cultivating that healthy skepticism, that ability to kind of question what we see and what we hear.
Yeah, it's so essential in a world where misinformation spreads like wildfire, you know.
And it made me think, you know, what are some of the red flags?
Yeah, what should people be looking for?
That we should look out for, that something might not be as credible as it seems.
Well, first off, you got to consider the source.
Okay.
Is it a reputable news organization, a peer-reviewed journal, an expert in the field?
Right.
Or is it just a random blog post or a social media rant or a website with a clear agenda? You know?
So checking those credentials right off the bat, that makes sense. What else?
Look for strong evidence to back up any claims being made.
Okay.
Are there verifiable facts, statistics, citations from credible sources?
Uh-huh.
Or is the information based on, you know, hearsay, anecdotes, emotional appeals?
Right. It's like the saying the plural of anecdote is not data.
Exactly.
Because one person had an experience doesn't mean it's, you know, universal.
Right. A single story, no matter how compelling, doesn't necessarily prove a point.
Yeah, that's true. So what else?
Another red flag is the use of really strong language or generalizations.
Okay.
Does the information present a balanced perspective, acknowledging, you know, complexities and nuances?
Right.
Or does it rely on absolutes, fear-mongering attacks on opposing viewpoints?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've noticed that a lot, especially online. It seems like people really feel the need to shout their opinions, and whoever's the loudest wins, you know, regardless of whether they're actually right.
Yeah, that's a great observation. The volume of an argument doesn't necessarily correlate with its validity.
So how do we move beyond those knee-jerk reactions, you know, and engage in those more thoughtful, nuanced discussions, especially online?
One strategy is to be mindful of your own emotional state.
Okay.
If you're feeling angry, frustrated, highly emotional, you know, it's best to just take a step back before engaging in any kind of online debates.
That's probably really good advice because it's so easy to get caught up in the heat of the moment and say things that you regret.
It is. And when you do engage, focus on the facts and the logic of the argument rather than resorting to personal attacks or emotional appeals.
So it's about raising the level of discourse, even in the often chaotic world of online discussions.
Precisely. And remember, it's okay to disagree with someone without resorting to insults or dismissiveness.
Right.
In fact, respectful disagreement can be incredibly productive.
Mm.
It can challenge our assumptions, broaden our perspectives, and lead to new insights.
That's a really refreshing perspective. You know, it seems like we often forget that disagreeing with someone doesn't have to be a negative thing. You know, it can be an opportunity to learn and grow.
Absolutely.
So, you know, earlier in this deep dive, we talked about some pretty extreme examples of irrational thinking, like cults and conspiracy theories. And, you know, these are often seen as these fringe phenomena.
Yeah.
But I think they can provide some valuable insights into those psychological mechanisms, you know, that can lead us astray.
Absolutely.
So what do you think we can learn from these extreme cases?
Well, one common thread is the need for certainty and simple explanations.
Okay.
In a world that's complex and often unpredictable, it's comforting to believe that there are clear answers and easy solutions to difficult problems.
I can definitely see how that would be appealing.
And conspiracy theories often provide that sense of certainty.
Yeah.
They offer a clear narrative, a simple explanation for complex events, a sense of control in a world that often feels chaotic and unpredictable.
It's like those connect the dots puzzles where you try to force a pattern onto a bunch of random points, even if there's no real connection.
That's a great analogy. And then there's the desire for belonging. which is a fundamental human need.
Right.
Cults in particular often exploit this need by offering a sense of community,
yeah,
a shared purpose, a feeling of being part of something bigger than yourself.
It's like they're filling a void for people who are feeling isolated or disconnected from mainstream society.
Exactly. And when you combine those factors with a distrust of authority, a lack of critical thinking skills, and a susceptibility to emotional manipulation,
yeah,
you have a recipe for people falling prey to these extreme beliefs.
That's a good point. It's a reminder that none of us are immune to these kinds of influences, especially when we're feeling insecure or uncertain or alienated.
That's right. And it highlights the importance of fostering critical thinking skills,
mm-hmm.
media literacy, a healthy skepticism from a young age.
Mm, it's true.
We need to equip ourselves and future generations with the tools to navigate this increasingly complex information landscape.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, into your irrational thinking, what are some key takeaways that you hope our listeners will, kind of take with them?
Well, first, remember that we're all susceptible to cognitive biases.
Yes, we are.
These mental shortcuts are a natural part of how our brains work. But they can lead to distorted thinking and flawed decision making.
Yeah.
The key is to be aware of these biases and to develop strategies for counteracting them.
So it's about becoming more aware of those mental patterns that are often operating beneath the surface,
Exactly. And second, remember that critical thinking is a skill that takes practice.
Yeah.
It's not something we're born with. It's something we develop over time through conscious effort and deliberate practice.
So it's like a muscle that we need to exercise regularly.
That's a great way to put it. The more we engage in critical thinking, the better we'll become at evaluating information, questioning assumptions, and making sound judgments.
I'm definitely feeling more motivated to make that effort. How about you, listener? What steps can you take today to become a more discerning and critical thinker?
Start by being more mindful of your information consumption.
Okay.
Question the sources you rely on. Seek out diverse perspectives and be wary of emotional appeals and overly simplistic explanations.
It's about approaching information with that healthy skepticism, a curious mind, and a willingness to challenge your own assumptions.
Exactly. And remember, critical thinking isn't just about analyzing information.
Mm-hmm.
It's about making more informed decisions, navigating the complexities of the world, and ultimately living a more fulfilling and meaningful life.
That's such a good point. It's a reminder that critical thinking isn't just this intellectual exercise. It's a way of being in the world, a way of engaging with life in a more conscious and empowered way.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of irrational thinking. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and tools to help you navigate the, kind of craziness of the information age. Until next time, keep those minds engaged and those critical thinking caps on.